Passionate, driven, enthusiastic, euphoric. This is who we are as entrepreneurs. But how we leverage these incredible attributes to dream and build businesses that scale and grow is what this podcast is all about. Hello, I'm attorneypreneur Josh Brown, and welcome to Franchise Euphoria. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Franchise Euphoria. Today, I'm thrilled to have Ellen Katzman on the show. Ellen is a executive turned franchisee who has years and years of experience being in leadership, in operations, in executive management, and over the last several years has now become a Bricks for Kids franchisee. So today we're going to talk all about her previous experience and her transition to becoming a franchisee. Hello, Ellen, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh. Good to be here.
Well, I got to say, in full disclosure, Ellen is also my aunt, my mom's sister. So if I refer to her as Aunt Ellen, you know, you'll kind of understand where we're coming from. So tell us, you've been a professional for a number of years, and obviously your background is as an executive, and just recently you've made the transition into becoming a franchisee. And, you know, a number of the listeners who are tuning in, I think can take a lot from your background and from your experience as they're contemplating themselves possibly becoming a franchisee or possibly considering a transition from what they're currently doing into a franchise system. So can you just take a couple minutes and sort of go into a little bit more detail on your background and then how you decided to make that transition over?
Sure, Josh. And again, thanks for having me on the podcast. I was really looking forward to it. As you've mentioned, I've been in a nonprofit world, actually, which is also another little twist to this scenario. The nonprofit world for 40 years. And it's been recreational, social work kind of setting. So it's been interesting. Gone up through the ranks, became an executive for over half of that time. So I've certainly had the leadership experiences, supervision, you know, experiences, supervisory experiences, etc. Throughout my entire professional life, dealing with boards, dealing with other staff, dealing with members and membership organizations, I always, and I underline always, wondered what it would have been like to have had my own business. Well, surprise, surprise, circumstances of everyone's professional life take changes here and there, and you never know what's around the corner. I remember telling Josh years ago, don't ever pass up an opportunity to do something that when you're 20 or 30 years older, you might say, I wish I would have tried that. Well, the opportunity presented itself that I had the opportunity to get out of non-for-profit world and to buy a franchise. That was a very big, big step, big hurdle for me, Josh, as you know. Not only financially, but emotionally. My guess is that if I had to weigh the two, it was more of an emotional jump than a financial jump. So I went from being an executive on the nonprofit side to looking at franchises that might fit my needs. Needs being financial, needs being interest. I remember talking to Josh, and he said, well, what are you interested in? Do something that you like. Do something that you're great in. I also remember talking to Josh's dad, my brother-in-law, who said, think about all the skills that you have in your professional life that you've utilized and look at what's transferable. And I think once I heard that and I started thinking about that, my eyes kind of broadened a little bit because we always think that we are pegged into one thing, one profession, what we always did, what we always will do. And for sure, your skills are transferable, whether they're leadership skills, whether they're fundraising skills, whether they're marketing skills, whether they're worker skills, they're all transferable. So I looked at many franchises, a ton of them actually. The one that stuck with me was Bricks for Kids. It's a hands-on, interactive, educational STEM-based program, science, technology, engineering, and math, for kids using Legos. Great. There's also an adult side that's called Bricks for Biz, which I go into companies and businesses, and we do team building and communication and collaboration with Legos. So how fun is that? Play with Legos for your professional life.
It's awesome.
So I took the leap. I took the huge leap. And it's been, I'm entering my third year, actually. So if you were to ask me, Josh, what did that feel like? I think every day I still have the same butterflies. I still worry if the phone's not going to call, if the ring, rather, if someone's not going to call. I still worry if we go to class and the class isn't going to go right. But those are all personalities. Those are all skills that you look at in terms of what can I do differently? How can I build this business? Now, in this business, in Bricks for Kids, it starts out where it's recommended that you actually do the instructing of the classes. So you learn the business, you grow the business. And I did that. In hindsight, I don't know if that was the best way for me to get started, because by doing it, I didn't take the right amount of time to market it or to grow it. I happened to enjoy growing it and marketing it more than the hands-on piece of being in the classroom.
So how long did it take you to figure that out? I mean, at what point did you realize that your skills were not being best utilized?
Unfortunately, probably a year. And I know you and I have had conversations about that. And you said, look, take a little leap. Can you hire somebody? Can you maybe afford to not make what you were, you know, when I taught, I didn't get paid. I was doing it. So now pay somebody so that you can go do other things. So I think it was a good 12 months to be at exact. It was too long. It's one of the things I learned. It was way too long. So this summer, for an example, we have Bricks for Kids summer camps. The first year, maybe I had one camp that went. And we're talking like half-day camps, Monday through Friday. Some businesses have, they're in 40 different locations, 50 different locations. They're making into the six figures just in the summer. That wasn't happening on my playing field. So then the second year got a little bigger. Last year, we had this little phenomenon. I say we, because I had two staff. I had two staff throughout the year that were teaching classes. It allowed me to be the back person for the administration, to grow it, to call people. And what I found was that by having the right staff personality-wise, they were selling my program, our program, year-round. So the classes that they taught during the year, that's why this summer is so big. I have 20 to 25 different camps all over the county that I'm at. Now, again, others are 40, 50, 60 camps. I'm going to get there. I know I am, because I know how to do it now. I know that throughout the year, when you teach those classes, you have to promote them with the institution, and you have to continue to give variety and say, look, we can do this. We can work with you within your budget. And that's what's happening. Right now, our camp season started a couple weeks ago, and already we're getting calls to say, okay, well, you were here. Can you come in the fall? We have a year-round program. Can we book you for next summer? So I wish I knew that before I started. I could have saved myself probably 12 to 14 months of agonizing and sleepless nights. You know, when you work for someone else, you never worry that every 2 weeks you're going to get that paycheck. You have different sleepless nights, different reasons, different boards, etc. When you're working for yourself, the pressure is different. And the pressure is everything is on you. How do you do that? So you weigh those pieces when you're deciding on a franchise. You know, is giving up being your working for someone to be your own boss? That sounds awesome. But you're giving up a lot of security when you do that too. So there's a lot of emotional back and forth. But once you get past that, it's sort of like testing the water. Once you get past your ankles, the rest happens.
I remember a lot of conversations that we had. See, I would say that it didn't take you a year to learn all that. It took you a year to act on all that, because I think you knew all of that, but there was a fear that was, if I'm not doing this, then how's it going to get done? Because I can't afford to bring more people on because there was this fear of like, I don't have a guaranteed check. I mean, you knew all that stuff. You knew you had to do that.
You're right. I think you are right. I think that if I was giving advice to anybody who was thinking about their own business, certainly capital, the capital you have up front is key. And the projections that you make financially are key. You know, coming from a nonprofit world, we were always in the hole. Well, you don't want to be in the hole when it's your business. So there's those kinds of adjustments you have to make. And I think feeling it and then acting on it, I was talking to one of my staff the other day. One of the things I do miss from, I'll say, my other world, whether it was nonprofit or for-profit, is when you're in an organization or institution and there's lots of folks around you, my personality tends to thrive off of those interactions. And one idea leads to another, to another. When you're by yourself or you have one or two staff, you don't necessarily get that. Well, I'm starting to get that now because I set up an incentive program for my staff that not only do they get paid by the classes that they teach, if they generate new business that I haven't had before, they get little incentives. And believe it or not, those incentives are important to them. So in having those conversations, other conversations happen. And for the first time in 3 years, I can actually say that with more than just myself, I'm going to have a planning meeting and we're going to look at the whole year round. And what are we doing? How can we do it better? What should we be doing different? But again, that didn't happen the first 12 or 14 months. Sure, I knew it, but it didn't happen.
Well, so, you know, in addition to the fears of making the transition, what's it been like for you to now adjust to a whole new system? I mean, I think in part it's kind of it was probably more natural than a lot of people who would make the switch, because in a nonprofit, your answer, even though you're the boss, you were still answering to a board. And so as a franchisee, while you're the boss, you still have to play within the franchisor's rules. But how's that been for you to adapt to the new system?
That's a good question, because at first when you buy a business, you think, it's mine. I don't have to answer to anybody. Not true. When you buy a franchise, there absolutely are rules that you have to follow. Have I gotten my hand slapped a couple times? Yeah, that's my personality. I have. So you have to adjust, and you do have to play by the rules, and you do have to assume that they know better than you. Saying that, there are opportunities, I'm assuming, with all franchisees to get involved with the franchise company. For example, we have steering committees and things like that that we can be involved in where we have a voice. I think it's always important to have a voice. You don't have a voice within your business, regardless of who's the person or the group above you, you don't want that business. You want to be able to have a voice. So we do have voices. They're heard. Most of the time they're acted upon, and the corporation goes with suggestions or we work things out. So I think that you have to be open enough to realize that you're not going to do this on your own. You're not opening up a mom and pop pizza shop where you have nobody to account for but yourself. Because the reality is, even in a mom and pop's pizza shop, you probably have the bank to account to. You probably have some investors to account to. So
all of us have customers to account to, right? I mean, at the end of the day,
exactly.
you know, like with my practice, people say, how's it feel to be your own boss? I said, no, I got all sorts of bosses. They're called my clients, right? I mean, I have to satisfy.
Exactly.
I have to satisfy my clients. Now in the franchise, you have to satisfy your clients and the franchisor. And that's all the reason why it's important to make a good pick.
And in us, we not only have the client, which I could say is a school, but then I have their constituents, which are the kids. Because if the kids aren't happy, the school isn't going to be happy with us, and they're not going to want us back. Now, for me, another plus to this franchise was that it's a mobile franchise, and I do it out of my home. So while I drive a lot, I'm on the road, going to places, etc. I don't have office space. I didn't have to lease a space or anything like that. There are some owners of Bricks for Kids that have what's called a creativity center. I think you have to really be generating tons and tons of business to pay for that, to make sure that it's worth your while. But for me, this was one of the attractions. So right now there's over 600 franchisees around the country. It's based on territories. It's based on the area you live. I happen to own two territories right now. One of the things I'm toying with, and it's funny, I'm toying with perhaps selling one of my territories. And someone said, well, are you shrinking? Absolutely not. What I want to do is sell one of my territories so I can put more money into the territory that I have that I'm building to make it bigger and better. I think that's the other thing I learned, is that you don't have to start out owning everything. Focus, grow it, and then grow the business, as opposed to buy big and try and grow. It's like buying a big pool and not knowing how to swim. You're going to drown.
So yeah, that's an awesome point. I love that point, because, you know, oftentimes in negotiating for, you know, with franchisees or with the franchisors for the franchisees, when you're talking about, you know, people want to protect additional territories when they haven't even gotten into one. And so, you know, there's ways to protect that through, you know, ensuring that you have a right of first refusal or something like that, but that you're not taking that on, both from a capital perspective and from an ownership perspective right away, because there's a significant ramp up period just for your one territory.
Well, you're absolutely right. And for me, the ramp up period's been almost 2.5-3 years. And the other thing is that while it's a plus and a minus, I don't live in my territory. So like I said, I drive, and I drive a lot. So my goal would be to sell a territory, one of my territories, that's really far from me. If another territory closer to me comes, I might buy that up, because I know how to do it. I know where to go. When I bought the two, and believe it or not, I looked at buying three originally, and my accountant said, you're crazy. Buy two at most. And even that was too much. But you live and learn, and if I can sell it and have some money back in the business, so be it. I've learned a valuable lesson. You know, you learn lessons. You learn financial lessons. You learn emotional lessons. You learn professional lessons. If I sold my business tomorrow and went to work for someone, I learned so much. I've never been in the... I know it's going to grow because I've learned so much about how to do it or a similar business. So when someone calls me and they say, hey, you know, we're thinking about buying one of these franchises, can you talk with us? I'm blatantly honest with them. It is not easy to go to bed one night and wake up. You're the boss and you got it made. It's a lot. It's a lot of effort. It's money. It's time. It's energy. It's patience. Patience and the endurance to see it through, or it will eat you up. On the reverse side, wow, it's so rewarding and so beneficial when there's a success. So all those pros and cons, the biggest one for me is that I would say to anyone, start off small, start off with your comfort zone in a business like this. Obviously, if you're buying a food business or a chain, but for something like this, start off small, grow it, learn it, feel it, believe it, love it, and then say, huh, what's my next step? Because you're making your decision from experience. I was making decisions from no experience of running my own business, only experience in the world, and they're completely different.
So thank you again, Aunt Dallin, for sharing, your story. I think there's a lot of people who are going to relate to your story, who are going to take things from your story and apply it to their lives so that they can hopefully make a better and more informed decision. If somebody wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Thanks, Josh. My email would be the best, and then we can hook up by phone after that. It's E. Katzman, K-A-T-Z-M-A-N. At Bricks, B-R-I-C-K-S, the number 4, kids, KIDZ.com. And I would say this, I will talk to whomever, whenever, however, if that's helpful, because I found that when I was first starting, I talked to a lot of people, I thought, but I could have always talked to more and listened. So I'm happy to help. And again, this was really great. I enjoyed myself, and my best to the family.
All right. Thanks so much, Aunt Ellen. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hopefully this was helpful for you today. If you are in the market for a franchise, I would highly encourage you to check out my free ebook, which is What to Know Before You Buy a Franchise. You can head over to my website at indyfranchiselaw.com and download it there for free. And let me know what you think. If you're enjoying this podcast, if you're enjoying the value that you're getting from this podcast, I'd also invite you to go to iTunes and provide me with a rating and review. It always helps for visibility on the podcast. So thank you so much for your support, and hope this episode was helpful to you.
Thanks for being with us today on the Franchise Euphoria podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to go to iTunes and provide a review. Also, please remember that although Josh Brown is a licensed and practicing attorney, nothing contained in this podcast should be construed as legal advice, because it is not. The information contained in this podcast is general and educational in nature, and none of it should be relied upon as legal advice. That being said, if you have questions for Josh and would like to contact him, please email him at josh@franchiseeuphoria.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you tune in to our next weekly episode.